What's up, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Yankees, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, and you can email questions or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. I'm your host, Stacey Gottsoulias. I'm an author of Baseball Prospectus, and I run their local Yankee site, BP Bronx. I've been a Yankee fan pretty much since birth, and I love the sport of baseball, but I have a confession to make. I have never watched The Sandlot, never even seen, other than people posting clips of it on YouTube, or the You're Killing Me Smalls thing. Haven't seen it. And I know that it's unbelievable. But anyway, in today's episode of Locked On Yankees, we will attempt to break down last night's debacle, and we will zero in on the calamitous sixth and eighth innings while pondering manager Aaron Boone's questionable bullpen decisions. And some exciting news, we have received listener questions that I will attempt to answer to the best of my ability. So the Yankees lost another game to the Marlins, which means they split the season series 2-2. The offense, the defense, and the pitching staff, at least those who were called on to pitch on Wednesday night, let them down. The offense was once again struggling against pitchers they've never faced before and only scored 3 runs. They scored 2 runs on Tuesday, so against a team who was going nowhere and filled with guys you've never heard of, held the Yankees, who own the second best record in the majors, to 5 runs over 21 innings. And more specifically, Greg Bird looked awful again. He's swinging through pitches that he should hit into the right field seats with ease. And last night after the game, he finally acknowledged how bad he's been. He actually told reporters, "It's frustrating." And he added, "It sucks to suck." Now, I have to give it up to him because at least he's admitting that he sucks. And he's not just telling reporters that he's happy to be here and, you know, because he's healthy and stuff like that. He just looks awful. And I realized that I was ranting about the fact that the Yankees are missing 3 big bats from the lineup, but they still have guys there who could and should be able to hit against the damn Marlins. Now, another problem on Wednesday night was the Yankees' pitching combined with Aaron Boone's questionable decisions in the sixth and eighth. Now, heading into the home half of the sixth, Lance Lynn, who started the game, was up around 100 pitches, and he had been pretty lucky at that point to get out of some jams. So Brian Anderson and Starlin Castro led off the sixth with back-to-back singles. And Derek Dietrich hit a ground ball to first, which advanced them into scoring position at second and third, or them both into scoring position, I should say. And then Austin Dean, who I never heard of before this series, hit an RBI single, which scored Anderson, and cut the Yankees' lead to 1. So it was 2-1. This is when Boone should have removed Lynn from the game. I'm not sure why he kept him in. And it seemed as if we could all envision this disaster happening before it actually happened. Like, we all knew that if you left Lynn in, it would just be bad. So why couldn't Boone see that? I don't understand. So he left Lynn in, and he gave up a 3-run home run to Miguel Rojas, and the Yankees' lead turned into a 4-2 deficit. And he still didn't remove Lynn after the home run. It's like a goodness. Lynn gave up a single to Magnaris Sierra, and that's when Boone finally decided to saunter out of the dugout. Well, what took him so long? They really should have had someone warming up as soon as the sixth started because, again, Lynn's pitch count was high. He had been lucky all game to not give up any runs up to that point. And I really don't understand Aaron Boone's thought process. I really don't. So Lynn finished the game with this final line. So 5 1/3 innings pitched. He gave up 5 runs on 9 hits. He walked a batter. He struck out 6. And he gave up that home run on 110 pitches. According to Mike, Mike Axiza of River Avenue Blues, 104 of Lynn's 110 pitches were some kind of fastball, so either a four-seamer, two-seamer, or cutter. And because of that, he only produced 9 swings and misses during this outing. And it was the second time that he produced fewer than 10 swings and misses in an appearance with the Yankees. We have some exciting news to share. The Locked On Network is locked on to college. Today launches the college channel for the Locked On Podcast Network. So if you're a fan of Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, Florida, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Baylor, Penn State, Oregon, or BYU, go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and you can follow for free. It's the Locked On Network, your team every day. So continuing on with our breakdown of Wednesday night's game, we left off with Boone finally taking Lynn out of the game and the Yankees being down 4-2. So Tommy Kahnle came into the game and gave up an RBI double immediately, which gave the Marlins a 5-2 lead, but he recovered to strike out Rafael Ortega and JT Realmuto to mercifully end the inning. Now the Yankees got a run back in the top of the seventh to cut the lead to 5-3, and Boone went to rookie Chance Adams to start the bottom of the seventh. Chance Adams gave up 2 walks. The Yankees made 2 errors in the inning, one by Austin Romine and one by Gleyber Torres, and the Marlins scored a run to put the Yankees back down by 3 runs. Now, 6-3 isn't an insurmountable lead, even heading into the eighth inning. I mean, certainly not against the Marlins, but the Yankees went down in order. And if they wanted to stage a miraculous comeback, it would have to happen in the top of the ninth. That was until Boone had Adams in to pitch another inning. This is another questionable move. Like I said, 6-3 isn't an insurmountable deficit. They could score 4 runs if they could hit Marlins pitching. But Boone does this. It seems like he does this a lot, where the Yankees will only be down like a run or 2 or 3, and then he'll bring in guys who have a tendency to give up runs. It happened last week with AJ Cole. They brought him into a game where the Yankees were only down 1, and then he gave up multiple runs and the Yankees couldn't come back. And so the Marlins scored 3 runs off Adams in the bottom of the eighth. They hit a 2-run home run by JT Riddle and an RBI single by Starlin Castro. I understand that the bullpen was used on Tuesday in the extra innings game and that not having David Robertson available kind of puts them in a bind, but the Yankees are off today. So they weren't traveling to Baltimore last night to play a game today, and there had to be a better option other than Adams. Or maybe not, because Sonny Gray was one of them. But anyway, the Yankees lost 9-3. And like I said earlier, they split the season series with the lowly Marlins, which is pretty embarrassing. I forgot to mention this at the top of the episode, but MLB released the 2019 schedule for every team. And I wanted to look at just some of the important days, so to speak. So they will have a series in Japan, March 20th to March 21st. the Mariners and the A's will be playing there. Traditional opening day, like the actual opening day, will be on March 28th, which is the earliest opening day in Major League Baseball history. And for the second straight year, every single team will be playing, which makes it a true opening day. It's not going to be a staggered thing like it's been in the past. And for us, the Yankees are opening at home against the Orioles. And in a questionable move, I don't understand why they do this, the Twins are opening at home. Minnesota had snow on the ground until like May of this year. Why would you start the opening series in Minnesota? That's crazy. So interleague play. The AL East will play the NL West. The AL Central will play the NL East. And the AL West will play the NL Central. And then the usual rivalry matchups will happen. Yankees, Mets, whatever. But the Yankees will be playing the Dodgers again, which is good. I actually went to the two-game series 5 years ago when the Dodgers finally came to Yankee Stadium for regular season games. It was originally a Tuesday, Wednesday, two-day series, but it was rained out Tuesday night and it turned into a doubleheader, separate admission, doubleheader the next day. And a friend of mine couldn't go, so she gave me her ticket for the first day, the first game. And then I figured, well, I'm here, I might as well go to the second game. So I bought myself like a $20 ticket and I just wandered around the stadium the whole night, and the Yankees lost, but it was still cool to see the Dodgers in Yankee Stadium. Oh, there'll be spring training games in Mexico, and there'll be regular season games in Mexico. The regular season games will be the Reds Cardinals April 13th and 14th, and the Angels and Astros May 4th and 5th. The All-Star game will be in Cleveland this year. The Yankees will be traveling all the way to London to play the Red Sox June 29th and 30th. So those will mark the first ever Major League Baseball games played in Europe. And September 29th will be the last day of the regular season, and the Yankees will be the last opponent to play a regular season game at Globe Life Park in Arlington. Don't get me started on that whole thing. That stadium is too young to be demolished. And even when they built it 20 years ago, it's not like Texas's weather just got hot. It's always been hot. They should have built that stadium with a retractable roof. It's ridiculous that stadiums that were built in the 90s are being torn down. Meanwhile, Boston's been playing in Fenway Park forever. The Cubs have been playing in Wrigley Field forever. It's just ridiculous. I don't get it. So I am pretty jazzed about this segment because I received some listener questions. I had one emailed to me and one tweeted at me. So let's start with the question that was sent via email by listener Jim D'Amore. Why does it seem that the Yanks don't play their doubleheaders to win both games? Their lineup is so short now, if they swap out three or four guys in the second game, it's even shorter. Why not play the same lineup in both games, except maybe the catcher? So I guess it would depend on the handedness of the pitchers they're facing, but Jim's right. It really doesn't seem as though Boone sets the Yankees up for success in both games of a doubleheader. And like I said earlier in the podcast, he's made a lot of questionable moves this season. And I understand he's a rookie manager and he's learning a bit as he goes, but I'd say that he's cost the Yankees at least 10 games this season because of his decisions, whether it's the lineup he draws up or the bullpen decisions that he makes. And on Saturday, the Yankees are playing a doubleheader against the Orioles. J.A. Happ is starting game one, And as I was recording this podcast, I found out that Sonny Gray will be the starter of Game 2, which doesn't bode well for the Yankees to have success in both games of the doubleheader. And while Gray's success this season has been on the road against crappy teams, he had an awful outing the last time he faced Baltimore. He's also not doing great out of the bullpen. He just can't seem to get it together. So with him starting the second game of the doubleheader, it looks as if the Yankees aren't being set up for success. So gird your loins, people. Saturday night may be a mess. Now the second question, or questions, come from my Baseball Prospectus colleague and editor, Dave Brown, who tweeted at me earlier. He asks, is this the beginning of Gleyber Torres as the long-term shortstop of the Yankees? Or will he and Didi be the DP combo of the relatively long term? And what should the Yankees do about this in the long run? My personal feeling is I don't think Gleyber Torres will usurp Didi Gregorius as shortstop just yet. And if and when Didi comes back from his injury, hopefully it'll be when he comes back and not if he comes back, he will be the shortstop, and he will be the shortstop for a long time. He is still relatively young, and he can still play the position fairly well. It's not as if he has concrete on his feet like Derek Jeter did during the last, 6, 7, 8 seasons of his career. Remember when Alex Rodriguez came over to the Yankees and had to switch to third base, even though he was the better defensive shortstop? Yeah, it's not the same situation here. Didi is still a good shortstop, and I don't see Torres taking over for him just yet. Then again, who knows? You never know with the Yankees, but I really don't see it happening. What I would like to see is someone else playing first base, because Greg Bird is just, I mentioned his offense earlier, but his defense isn't really great either. He seems to be having issues with every aspect of his game, and that's a problem for the Yankees. It's bad enough that they have Andujar at third, who isn't great, but A-Rod was working with him before both games in Miami. And, you know, like I said, if anyone knows about playing third base and learning how to play third base, it's A-Rod. So that was probably a good thing for Andujar to have someone like A-Rod help him out. Because when A-Rod came over to the Yankees and had to learn third base, Greg Nettles helped him out. Now, who was better than Greg Nettles at third base for the Yankees? He was like a vacuum. There was that one game in the 78 World Series where everything hit anywhere around him, he got to. I think my dad may have been at that game. I'm pretty sure he was. And yeah, he was at that game because I remember him telling me later, not then, I was only 4, 1978, but I remember him marveling at Nettles' defense in that game. So yeah, Alex Rodriguez helping Miguel Andujar is a good thing. Hopefully it'll help. And Gary Sanchez, who will be beginning his rehab assignment soon, looks to have lost some weight while he's been on the DL. And he's been working on his defense, and maybe that might help. Maybe being able to move around a little better and not carry extra weight might help him behind the plate. Wouldn't that be great? Let's hope that happens. Let's all cross our fingers and our toes and our eyes and anything else that we can cross on our bodies and hope that that's the case. And also hope that his offense comes back when he returns from his DL stint. I completely forgot to mention this during the rundown at the beginning of the podcast, but yesterday I discussed Pedro Martinez's comments about the Yankees and how they don't have the energy of a winning team and that he understands key players are injured, but they don't seem to be hustling. So my man Brett Gardner had something to say about it, and nothing nasty. He just decided to say something because he was asked about it. So this is what Gardner said. He said, obviously everyone is entitled to his opinion. He, Martinez, probably Red Sox fan more than a Yankee fan. And then Gardner added, we have the second best record in the game. They have the best and have a great team that's playing well. We have dealt with injuries, have the toughest schedule, and the worst travel. We went to Boston. They beat us 4 straight. We played Sunday night. They were off Monday. We played in Chicago. Then we played a night game on getaway day and didn't get home until 5 a.m. We played 20 games in 20 days. It's safe to say that guys were a little weary. We're doing the best we can. Like I said yesterday, just shut up, Pedro. Worry about the Red Sox. Don't worry about the Yankees. Just be quiet. And like I said yesterday, and like Brett Gardner said, they're dealing with pretty significant injuries to significant players in both their lineup and on their pitching staff. And like I said yesterday, imagine the Red Sox losing J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts, and Andrew Benintendi. How would they play without those three players? So, again, Pedro just needs to shut his mouth and not worry about the Yankees. We'll worry about the Yankees because we like the Yankees and we worry about them. Pedro can just keep an eye on his boys in Boston. So thank you for listening. This is Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am Stacey Gottsoulias, and you can follow me on Twitter at Stace Gotts, StaceGotts. And once again, you can email us questions at lockedonnyy@gmail.com or tweet us at Locked On Yankees. Have a good day, everyone.